With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, the word is out. They're going to talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 691, Firestarter.
Oh, buddy.
I thought this was going to be a Prodigy biopic.
Well, it couldn't have been any worse.
How much does it suck to be Prodigy when you're like, we've got one song, it's called Firestarter, we're right over here, guys.
Not only do you have one song named Firestarter, but you're also like the name of the one of the very first internet companies.
Yeah.
And you still can't figure it out.
Still nothing. Right. Like, oh my God. That'd be like if somebody came out with a movie called Counting Blue Cars and didn't use the Dishwalla song.
Dishwalla's like, hey.
Yeah.
We got a song.
I bet you Deep Blue Something's still mad when they watch Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah, totally. You know? Absolutely they are.
We're like, guys, you weren't born yet.
What was the, who's Counting Cars? What was that? Counting Blue Cars?
Well, there's, Dishwalla was.
That's Tell Me on Earth, All Your Thoughts on God.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada.
And that was Counting Blue, that's Counting Blue
Cars.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's Dishwalla.
Yeah.
And then there's. Isn't there a Counting Cars song? But that's One Republic, maybe.
Sure. If you, I mean, you can name a One Republic song. Feel
they
free.
Actually have a bunch.
Okay,
they do.
I believe
they have a bunch of hits. They're a big deal.
There's like a weird gap in my musical.
Totally.
Yeah,
and it never comes back around.
It comes back around only because I have a 10-year-old now.
Oh, okay.
You know, like soon to be 11, but like
it was weird. My kids were never so like my. My boys, especially Brian, he just loves classic rock. I did not foist that upon him.
Okay.
He fell in love with Beatles Rock Band and this went down the classic rock rabbit hole.
Interesting.
And so, and then my stepdaughter never seemed to really care about music. And so I don't.
Even to this day?
She does now, but it's always with headphones on, so because she's 15, right. So I never hear it, and it's EDM, which I wouldn't be able to tell one from the other anyway. Because I'm
Moby, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, No, that's not Moby. That's how old you are.
Right,
is that
right,
you
right.
Think Moby still records music that the kids listen to?
That's it. I don't think Moby records music anybody listens to.
Yeah, I mean, Moby's peak was like literally at this point, like what 25 years
I think that's
ago.
Probably right.
So yeah.
It is weird. Like you know, she takes her iPad in the bathroom when she takes a shower.
Right.
And just turns on music or whatever. And I walked by and it was like pop punk.
Right.
But like the one that I listened to. So it was like Blink 182 or something. Right. And I was like, what? Where did you hear that? She's like, oh, I heard it on TikTok. I was like, oh.
Like, I like the oldies.
Right.
I still know. I mean, obviously I'm older than you are, but like it is weird sometimes to think about that, like those Blink 182 songs for kids today.
Yeah.
It's older to them than when I was a kid, like the Beatles and the Turtles.
Sure. So that's, I mean,
and the
I
Monkeys.
Think,
we're farther away from those bands now than when I was the same age.
Yeah. I guess Dude Ranch is like 97.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yikes.
So we should go around the table and introduce ourselves.
It's not going to take long. This is Joe.
This is Tom. So, a couple weeks ago, we gave Joe the wrong time and he missed an episode. So in the interest of fairness, we did the same thing to Kevin.
Yeah, right.
So,
gotcha.
Surprise. Surprise, Kevin. Yeah. Still going to have to edit it, though.
No, yeah, totally.
Before we jump into Firestarter, shameless plugs, don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find your podcasts, you can find us. While you're there, follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. That's always helpful. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And finally, don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content and we like you extra. Oh, I said finally, but I lied. I forgot to go through the League of Show Shares, people who actually shared an episode last week. So here we go. Ralph Tribble, Laura Conley Quiddick, David Rojas, Josh Rosen, Christopher Rex, Gabriel Lugo, Heather Sachs, Tom Dowdy, Chris Falls, Chris Williams, Jackson Tom 0318, Minorities Report, Brendan McGuckin, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd Podcast, Cinema Recall, Geek to Me Radio, Feel and Film, Mike and Oscar, Binge Movies, Ronnie Castle, Josh 674-30274.
This is getting a little much.
Yeah. Matt Naglia, Invasion of the Remake, and In Session Film. So thank you very much for sharing the episode.
You.
We greatly appreciate it. So
what is your Stephen King origin story? Like, I mean, do you remember the first time you found him?
I think the first book I read by him was Carrie.
Okay. So like right off the bat.
Well, no, it came out when I was 4.
That's fair.
Okay. So, yeah. I mean, I was a precocious child.
You're not reading Carrie at 4.
But I wasn't reading Carrie at 4. Okay, okay. Like, I had moved on by then. I was War and Peace.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
Stuff like that. The Russian translation. Not the translation, but the original Russian.
If you're going to do it.
Yeah. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right.
That's right.
But no, for some reason, I think I started with Carrie. And,
okay.
And then I didn't go in order. But also, like, I started reading Stephen King books when I was probably 12,
sure,
13. So that would have been 82. So at that point, there's really only like 10 Stephen King books.
That's
fair. Like, that's how old I am.
Imagine
I lived
starting
in
2022.
I lived in a world where there were like 10 Stephen King books. I have the list up in front of me of the books in order.
Yeah.
And it goes Carrie, Salem's Lot, Shining, right?
Bam, bam, bam.
Bam, bam, bam.
Yeah.
And then it goes Rage, which doesn't count because that's a Bachman book.
Right.
So then The Stand in 78. So now we're at 4 books. The Long Walk, again, Bachman book doesn't count. Like, you know, we literally didn't know he was Richard Bachman.
Is that right?
Yeah, like when he was putting those books out, nobody knew he was Richard Bachman.
Because they weren't horror related, right? They were just
stories. They didn't have a supernatural element.
Yeah.
And then, at least not initially, I think Thinner was a Bachman book, and that ended up having a super. But I think by the time Thinner came out, people had figured it out.
Oh, okay.
So Long Walk is not a Stephen King book officially. And then Dead Zone in 79.
That's a good one.
And then Firestarter in 80. So this is his 6th book. And then Roadwork, again, Bachman. Cujo in 81. And then Running Man doesn't count. Dark Tower is 82.
Okay.
Counts, but was hard to find.
Oh, really?
Because it was, I think the first, I think the first Dark Tower book, if memory serves, like, it was this real limited print run. It was super hard to find.
Was it in something else? Like, did he write it in something else?
I don't think so, but
okay.
But it was like this kind of like, and then finally he started putting it out, and then it was like, it was only going to be in paperback, like oversized paperback. He was never going to put it in hardback, but they put out a really limited run of hardbacks. I actually have the first 2 or 3 Dark Towers in hardback. They go for like $250 to $400
those
each.
Those are no joke. Yeah.
And then Christine is 83. Pet Cemetery is 83. Cycle of the Werewolf, which is a novella, is 83.
Which became Silver Bullet.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Talesman, 84. Thinner, 84. But I think that's a Bachman, and that's when people were starting to figure it out. And then It in 86. So like,
that's a hell of a run.
That's a hell of a run.
Yeah.
And, but
what did The Long Walk become? Anything?
I don't think they ever turned it in. Did they make it?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But because I remember on my 8th grade field trip, they just announced, like, people had just kind of figured out that they had made it official that Richard Bachman was actually Stephen King.
Sure.
And those books only came out in paperback, like normal, like the $5 paperbacks.
Yeah, yeah, like the old time, not old timey, but like.
But the kind you buy on a spinner rack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm on the field trip. We go in the gift shop in downtown St. Louis,
uh-huh.
And there's a copy of The Long Walk on the spinner rack for like $2.
Yoink.
And it does not say Stephen King anywhere on it.
That's so interesting.
But people had announced. They finally said, "Yeah, yes, this is actually Stephen King."
Oh.
And so I snagged it, and like I remember during the divorce when I was harder for cash, I actually sold it on eBay for like $150.
Is that right?
And it was not in beautiful condition. Like it was in decent, but
sometimes
not.
It doesn't matter.
But find a Bachman book that doesn't say Stephen King on it. Like it's hard to do.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, so he was on a good run, but like, so Firestarter, I think is the period where he's so coked up. He doesn't remember.
Yeah. It's also, yeah. I mean, when you look at, he definitely got into the, like mental psychokinetic, like
right.
mind powers, right? You got Carrie, you have the Dead Zone, you have this
Shining.
It's big time yeah. Shining. So it is interesting how they all, and given the fact that he has his own little universe,
right,
you would assume that he would just call this instead of, so like with the main character Andy, who in this movie is played by Zac Efron, which is just, it is a weird moment where I was like, Zac Efron's playing somebody's dad.
Yeah,
but it is,
he's 35,
it totally tracks.
And, but it's also like, I think he is horribly miscast.
Yeah, and the like the character is, we're going to refer to the book a lot. I mean, I just finished the book.
Right.
So, like, it's,
I read the book,
fresh.
But I would have read the book in, like, 81 or 82.
That's like before I was born.
Yeah.
Right.
Shut up.
But it is, like, he is, it, the character's all wrong.
Yeah.
Like, Andy in the book is very loving and, like, fights for Charlie. And
right.
isn't, like, as gruff or rough with her.
Right.
He's definitely more, like...
Yeah, because in this, watching this movie, I was like, they should have cast more of like a redneck, right? Because he's got this hunting mentality about everything. Like, you got to put that animal out of its misery.
Yes.
Like, you should have, like, I'm going to be, you know, he seems to come from this mindset of tough love.
Yeah.
Like, and he's not like a complete asshole about it.
Kind of.
But that's why I said not complete.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but he's definitely like, we have very serious things we need to worry about, and so we have to be on point.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's not Andy from the book,
right?
Like, it's just a very.
It's been so long.
Well, he is. He's very like not. I'm not going to say timid, but he is more fatherly,
right?
And more like there's a incident in the book where Charlie ends up like setting like government agents kind of like melts their boots, kind of
right.
And he's like, hey, like don't. Like, don't do that. Like, he's very anti using the
right.
the fire, I guess. Where in this one, it gets to a point where he's just like, nah, man, burn him down. And it's just.
Yeah. But that's like the climax. Like, he spends the bulk of the movie saying, don't use this. Don't hurt people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then when they're finally like backed into a corner, he's like, light it up.
Which is how it kind of the book ends in the same way.
Yeah.
But the whole like Rainbird character is completely different. Like 100% to where in the book he's very he's not a good person.
Gotcha.
Ever. Like he tricks Charlie into thinking
right.
that he's okay, and he ends up, spoilers in the book at least, killing the dad and
gotcha.
Like, it's, but he's
yeah,
never.
Yeah, I felt like they were trying to set this up for a sequel.
luck. But thank God this is on Peacock, because that's the only way anybody's going to watch this movie.
Yeah, I saw it in the theaters because
did you really?
Well, I had to see it in time to review it on the radio.
Oh.
And so Peacock didn't drop it early. They dropped it early in theaters, but not on their streaming platform. Make that make sense. And so I actually paid to see this movie.
Okay.
So,
it's real bad.
It's like mid 90s sci-fi channel.
And
I mean that as a compliment to the sci-fi channel and an insult to this movie.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's so flat.
That's exactly it.
It's just flat.
Yeah, and it looks terrible.
Yeah.
Like, this guy does not have any other... He's got some other directing credits.
Right.
It's got a score by John Carpenter.
Yeah, where did that come from?
So,
who was attached to direct the original one.
Correct, and then did Christine... I guess... Is that right? So he did Christine instead?
I don't know when...
that times out, or did he do Christine and they wanted him to do another one? And he, because,
oh,
and he was probably like, I don't want to just be the Stephen King guy.
I think he does Christine because the thing tanks.
Okay,
and then maybe that, maybe
which is
you're
a
right.
shame. That should have been the should other have way
never
around.
Happened. Yeah, no yeah. joke. And I like Christine. I think Christine's a very good movie. But yeah. I mean, that's the thing.
The thing
yeah,
is,
come on.
I don't even like those kind of movies, and the thing's amazing.
It's, yeah, it's top tier.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it, and I think the one of the writers of this is one of the writers of Halloween Kills, which is, it is what it is,
right?
Like, you know. So I don't know. And it's interesting because we have seen this recent like Stephen King renaissance, right? Like
right.
you've got the It movies and you've got
Dr. Sleep and, yeah, and Stranger Things is definitely an homage to Stephen King. It's
absolutely.
Not, you know, it's not literally Stephen King, but it, I think you have all these filmmakers that grew up reading these books,
yeah,
and they, you're finally getting good filmmakers
yeah.
to make his movies. I mean, not here, of course, but, no. but in other instances. And but I mean, there had been good Stephen King movies prior
sure.
to the kind of the rethink that we've had the last couple of years, but they were few and far between.
Big time.
And honestly, most of them were not things people would think of as Stephen King, right? It was,
Stand By Me.
Stand By Me. There we go. All mm-hmm. I could think of was the name of the short story, which
the
was
body.
The body. But things like Stand By Me, Shawshank Redemption, like those
the Green
were,
Mile,
the Green Mile, like which has something of a supernatural element,
yeah.
but a pretty, but in the
with
grand
the exception
scheme,
of that one thing,
yeah. In the grand scheme of things, it's not very supernatural.
No.
And then you know, so really the only like thing that really to me felt like Stephen King that was really good was Carrie,
sure,
the first one,
mm-hmm.
and then
well, and, that's
and then
one.
Misery.
Oh, you don't think Salem's Lot? I think Salem's Lot is scared the bejesus out of me.
I just didn't think it helped. I don't think it.
It's also made for TV,
right?
Like it's very different.
Yeah,
it's like getting a remake with Jake Gyllenhaal. I think,
yeah,
attached. But I agree. Is like there was, yeah. You so you had De Palma on Carrie, a young De Palma. Right,
yeah.
You had
young Travolta.
Yeah, that's right. A Cronenberg, maybe on the
Dead Zone is Cronenberg, which was I think solid, but didn't really click for people.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
I like it a lot because Christopher Walken is
sure.
Whoa,
yeah,
you know. And then Carpenter on Christine, and obviously Kubrick on The Shining. I don't know who did, but like those are top like. Top tier
directors
who are on the way
yeah.
up.
And I think that the problem has always been with the Stephen King stuff is that the books are all about character development.
Everything is about it.
And the movies are almost never about character development.
Ever.
Like you, I mean, you enjoy living in this world. He paints these really fascinating worlds
yeah.
with interesting characters. And the supernatural, and then you care about the super, because honestly, a lot of his supernatural stuff, like, it's not that groundbreaking of a concept, right? Like,
she
this
can
girl
move things with her mind.
Yeah, she can set things on fire with her mind. He can use his mind to read people's minds. Like, right, it's, you know, like,
there's a lot of mind stuff.
Right, like, right. I mean, Stephen King is great. Like, I'm not, like, but the hook of the novels,
right.
like, really, like, especially if you read comic books, like, you see this stuff all the time. So it's really, And I definitely mean this is a compliment. It's the writing itself, right? And
sure.
and the worlds that he builds around these characters that draws you in. And so many of these movies just got focused on
goof gore
on the money shot.
Gore, but yeah, on the
yeah,
horror, right?
On the horror aspect of it. And you care about the horror because you've come to care about the people. And
I think, did you watch Midnight Mass?
No.
Cannot recommend it enough.
Okay.
Mike
I
Flint.
Watched that second one. I liked the first one that they did with the haunted house
the
thing.
Haunting of Hill House.
Yeah, and then I watched the second one, and that thing was a snooze.
That was a snooze.
And,
I agree.
And then I just never got around to the
so I do, I highly, the only reason I bring that up is because that, to me, is the most Stephen King thing
gotcha.
Without it being Stephen King.
Right, right.
Because they spend, like, 4 episodes building these characters.
Yeah.
And then the thing happens, and you're like, what?
Right.
And then it's off to the races.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that is what we have seen recently with The Outsider, with Castle Rock, which is Stephen King adjacent, right? Like,
well, I mean, they're using his characters and
but they're
like,
not,
it's like a shared world and they interact And
it's weird. Like, yeah, there are no characters, right? I mean, Sissy Spacek is in it, but she's not Carrie.
But no, there's characters. Because, yeah.
In season two, there is. But in season one, there isn't.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess maybe because Shawshank is there. So maybe I'm trying to like.
And don't you get a young version of the lady from Misery? And
that's season two. Yes. Oh, okay. So season two focuses.
I started watching it and then just kind of lost interest.
But it's good.
Yeah.
I think they're both very good because you don't know. It's got Bill Skarsgård. Who yeah.
I like the concept of yeah. it, and but because
season two is real good
because he's kind of the first guy, at least in mainstream culture, that kind of did this thing where his books would reference each other.
Yeah.
With these little what we now call Easter eggs. I mean, I remember reading a book, and yeah, and all of a sudden, it would reference Carrie, and you'd be like, oh my god, I know
this girl.
I know what you're talking about. Like, yeah, you felt like you were part of it. You know,
yeah,
like, it was really cool.
They reference the town of Derry or whatever.
Right. Yeah. But yeah. So I love the marketing materials for this movie when they're like, you know, the new adaptation of the Stephen King masterpiece. And I'm like, masterpiece?
I got to tell you.
Stephen King has written multiple masterpieces, right?
Absolutely.
Like, I am not here to take a dump on Stephen King.
No.
But he's also had some books that, let's say, weren't masterpieces.
Maximum Overdrive, for instance.
Yeah. And, like, this is the era where, like I said, he's so coked up he doesn't remember writing it. So Firestarter, Cujo, like, this is where it starts to get a little wonky.
Yeah.
And then it kind of comes back around, but
with
I don't know, I feel
Misery?
Like I feel like Christine's really good. Pet Sematary's good.
Yeah, both are great.
And then Talesman, but he co-wrote that with Peter Straub,
right?
And then It,
oh,
which
okay.
is great,
yeah.
Although the ending's a little wonky. You know,
right?
I mean, it was like a gangbang and a turtle.
Luckily,
like
Andrea Muccetti or whatever his name was, like, I'll figure it out.
They made the right call
yeah,
there,
right?
Yeah, and then because then it goes It, Misery, and then Tommyknockers, and then it gets kind of like meh again
yeah.
for a while. Tommyknockers, Dark Half, Needful Things, Gerald's Game, but
all adapted. Everything you just read,
yeah,
adapted.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, almost all of it, because Gerald's Game, Dolores Claiborne,
yep.
Insomnia.
Yeah.
Was that?
No.
Okay, Rose Matter.
No.
Green Mile.
Yes.
Desperation.
No.
Regulators.
Mm,
I think that was a TV thing.
Maybe.
Bag of Bones, Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon,
no.
Dreamcatcher.
Yes.
Black House.
No.
From a Buick 8.
No.
Put that
on a poster.
Yeah. Colorado Kid, which was skipping the Dark Tower stuff.
Oh, okay.
But that's a
they wanted that to work.
Yeah, that was like he's like, I'm gonna write a hard boiled detective novel. Like,
oh.
It's not. It was one of those sorts of things. And then Cell, Lizzie's Story, Blaze, Duma Key, Under the Dome.
Under the Dome did.
Yeah. 11/22/63, which I think is a masterpiece.
The show was
awful.
Okay,
but the book is amazing. That might be my favorite Stephen King book.
Okay,
like, it's, you know, it's up there with The Stand for me. Like, it's
interesting.
It's really good. And then yeah, Joyland, Dr. Sleep, Mr. Mercedes, Revival, Finders Keepers, End of Watch, Wendy's Button, Sleeping Beauties, The Outsider, Elevation, and The Institute. That's 60 books if you count the Bachman stuff.
Okay,
This is only novels. This does not count any of the short story collections, which have also had quite a few adaptations of their own. But yeah, so like they really, like a lot of these people, they don't want to spend the time with the character development to make you care about the supernatural stuff.
And this is only an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Is crazy.
I was relieved.
Sure.
There's one thing they got right. It was the runtime.
But it is like I feel like you need to have. You need that, especially with this, where just like you got to care about Andy and Charlie.
Right.
And they're on the run and you got to care about their relationship. And it's just like I think the first half of the book is them on the run.
Right.
And then the second half is them dealing with getting caught. I think that sounds about right. But yeah, so it opens up real briefly. Zac Efron plays Andy McGee. We find out that Andy and his wife were involved in a college experiment where they were testing this serum, and
which makes way more sense as a story
in the 60s
and
in the early 80s when they would have went to college in the 60s as opposed to, like, they were doing this during 9/11?
Right.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
With Kurtwood Smith. Like, right. Which is just, okay.
Why him for one scene?
I don't know.
I guess it's not like he's an A-list actor, but he's a very recognizable guy.
As soon as you hear his voice.
Yeah, you would think that he would have more to do in this movie.
Right. Well, in the book, all of them do.
Sure.
Right? Like Ray Bird.
Because the book's not 45 pages.
That's true, yeah. The Gloria Rubin's character, who they gender swapped, I think, and then they take two characters out of the book, out of this thing completely,
yeah,
that are like major players in the book. Like there's a reference when we go see Kurtwood Smith in the old folks home, like the name of the hospital is one of the doctors.
Oh, okay.
It's just like, well, that's, I gotta tell you, it made me mad more than anything else.
Right.
Like, it's just like, oh God. And it turns out that this serum 6 or whatever it's called worked on Andy and his wife.
Lot 6.
It did not work on some people. Some people are tearing their eyeballs out. Some people are just, you know, their brains are exploding. Again, like there's Stephen King, to me at least, has never been a gore guy. So when you see them, this guy pulling his eyeballs out, it's, yeah, like, well, it's kind of okay, whatever. I know you do. You Blumhouse, John Carpenter, the right. This must be like Halloween adjacent. Like there, right, must be some sort of Halloween connection besides like the guy that wrote it in Blumhouse and Carpenter.
Right.
So yeah, they end up, turns out that it worked on both the parents, and Andy has been using the push, which is what they call it in this, to kind of get women. And I don't mean this like disparaging, but like he's using it as like a weight loss tool or like a therapy thing where it's like, you don't
in the book.
So in the book, they reference that he does that.
Because here he was helping her stop smoking.
Yeah. So in the book, they reference that he was like helping housewives lose weight. But if he pushes too hard, it's what he...
Then they want to vote and they want to get jobs and like it's a whole
land.
It's a whole thing. Yeah.
Golly. But it causes ricochets and it like...
He gains weight.
Well, he does in the book at least. Like,
oh, does he?
Yeah, like they've got him all doped up on Thor. When they catch him, they've got Andy all doped up on Thorazine, and they're giving him whatever he wants, and he just starts putting on weight. And like one of the first things that Charlie says when she sees him for the first time, she's like, "Oh, you got fat, Dad." And it's like, "Oh, well, thanks, kid." But like, yeah, he's using it to make money under the table by self-help is basically what he's doing. And I'm trying to think of this. It's so, and Charlie, they're trying to call this a superhero movie, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I mean, I think because superhero movies are so popular,
I guess that's true,
that they're like, well, let's try and tap into that a little bit, because, I mean, she is basically kind of like an X-Men.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and she's Firestar.
Right. Like and so, you know, So, I mean, I definitely think that they're trying to, like, ride that wave a little bit. Like,
sure.
Oh, it's Stephen King, but it's also superhero kids. We like those. You like the superheroes.
That's right. So she has an incident at school where this kid is teasing her, and I was like, set that kid on fire, will you?
Yeah, like, I really thought that was going to come back and pay off.
Well, especially when she's walking down the road.
And she gets tormented by kids later. I thought he was going to be one
of them.
That's
what I thought, too.
They were setting up to, like, when she destroys this kid, you won't feel bad because he's
nope.
a jerk. Yeah.
Just three random kids that had nothing to do with anything.
Right.
So it gets on this government's radar, the DIS, which if you're going to be a secret government organization, maybe don't plaster your name on the side of a building.
Yes.
Which is just ridiculous. Like they show the outside of this building in big black letters.
Right.
It says
the secret organization.
Right.
And then apparently, based on the climax of the film, there are up to six people who work there.
Easily.
It looked like it was filmed in the access hallways of a mall.
It's unbelievable. Given the fact that Stephen King has kind of risen back to a level of prominence.
Yeah.
This, you know, this reminds me of is, do you remember that Charlize Theron, like Gillian Jacobs movie? Do you remember that?
The
so they she does Gone Girl, and that becomes
Dark Places.
Yes.
And then it was, and then they pulled it out of theaters after like 3 days.
Yes,
and because they were going to try and remake it as a TV show for HBO.
Correct.
It got made kind of before Gone Girl, and then they were like, "Oh, she's a big deal.
Yeah,
let's hide this movie and remake it properly."
Right. Yeah. That's what this reminds me of.
Yeah,
a lot. Like you've got Zac Efron, who I'm hesitant to call like on the decline, but. He's not where he was.
I don't know. Like, I feel like for a grown-up, I mean, he's not where he was when he was 19, but that was because he was starring in all those High School Musical movies.
Yeah.
And he's trying to distance himself from that.
Yeah.
And he did, like, the Neighbor stuff.
Which is funny. That first one's pretty good.
Yeah. And Baywatch. And he did the that Ted Bundy
thing
for Netflix.
That's true.
And
that's
so
true.
I think he's definitely trying to set himself up as like, I'm a serious grown-up actor.
I can do this.
And I don't necessarily think he's incapable of it, but he is miscast in this movie. I think what he's doing is not what this movie needed.
I could see him being the book version of Andy.
Right.
But not this version.
Yeah.
I agree. This needs to be, I don't know, maybe somebody who's just like a little bit gruffer.
Well, and because I feel like it's written that he's supposed to be gruffer. Because even at there's the scene where Charlie like uses her powers and sets the mom on fire,
yeah.
And then she tells the dad, "I was trying to do that to you."
Yes,
and like up till that point, I felt like her and the dad were tight, and the mom was kind of
on the outs,
and so I was just like, "Why does she want to do that to the dad?
That's a good
not the
point.
Mom." And so, like, that didn't track for me.
Yeah. Well, again, I know we're going to do it, but it just is what it is. So, in the book, at least, that they don't... Andy has, like, a premonition, or he gets a spidey sense, basically.
Right.
He's like, something's wrong at home. So he goes home, and, like, he finds his wife. Like, fingernails have been torn out, and she's dead, and he realizes they tried to torture her to get whatever information they could out of her, and she didn't give anything up. So he scoops up Charlie, and now we're on the run.
Gotcha.
So, like, this whole, like, them being on the run together isn't a thing. And if you're making $75 a pop, I don't know where you're staying, but okay.
Yeah.
And that's the advantage of the book, right? Is there is no internet. There's no cell phones.
Right.
You don't have to, you know, try to.
It's a lot easier to be off the grid back then.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there was a grid.
Yeah.
Your electric bill.
You just didn't use your credit card and didn't take major highways.
Right. That was all you had to do in 1980.
You stayed on Route 66 with all the forgotten motels and you were good.
There's a couple still where I drive by. I was like, hey, you're still there.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see what it looks like inside, but I don't want to step inside.
Yeah, you're like, nothing good is happening inside of that hotel.
I've seen Psycho.
Yeah.
That's no thank you.
I've seen where my ex-wife stayed.
Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so they go on the run, and this is where they kind of take two characters and merge them together. So you've got kind of like this older gentleman who... they're hitchhiking, right?
Yeah.
In the book, they're trying to get to Albany. In this, they're just trying to get out. And he tricks this guy into thinking he's giving him a $100 bill, but he's actually giving him a $1 bill. And this is two characters. There's in the book, at least, there's a cab driver that he's like, I'll give you $500 if you take us to Albany. And he was like, okay. And then there's the guy who owns the farm. And then they get to this farm, and it's becoming very obvious that like the guy who owns the farm is kind of not okay.
Right.
Like he's, you know, there's something else going on, and we find out that he's got he's calling for his wife in the house. And I was like, well, nobody's
right.
Showing up. This is not going to be good.
Right.
And of course, Charlie, being a precocious child, stumbles upon her in like, she's not brain dead, but she's, I don't know.
Like in a vegetative state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But her brain is still,
she can't communicate.
Yeah. 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 And of course we find out that, our old man is the cause of this. He got drunk, got into a car accident, killed his son, and put her in this vegetative state. All of the bad guys show up at this point. They show up at this house, and this is where we meet John Rayburn, who is like, in the book at least, he's like this hulking Native American World War II vet. No, sorry, Vietnam vet, missing an eye, but he's got like a heart of stone.
So he's kind of like an evil version of Chief from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Kind of. Yeah. Like, that's the way they describe him. They almost exactly like Chief, except he's, like, doesn't care.
Right.
And yeah.
Well, that's why it's an evil version.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. So he is kind of, he is tasked with taking out Charlie and Andy and bringing them back to DIS or whatever. There's some weird technology in this.
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden they figure out that, like, Andy has to look somebody in the eye. So now they have, like, these high tech contact lenses.
Oh, in the movie, there's weird. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
In the book, he's like, it's Rainberg off in the distance and shoots them both with a dart. And then he's like, got him. And that's it. And he takes them back to wherever it is. But yeah, like, they add these, this weird twist to the power where they have to, Andy has to look you in the eye.
Right.
To make the power work. And it's like, well, all right.
Because they needed him to have a weakness.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Not just a dart in the neck.
Right.
So yeah. And then in this, I kind of like the line where Rainberg's like, Rainbird, I guess is his name, where he says, you think they tried.
Yeah,
like,
he's an Indian, not Jewish.
Yeah, right.
Right? Rainberg.
Rainberg. he's like, you think they tried that formula on sexy co-eds before anything else? He's like, no, they tried it on us. We find out that he also has the ability to push in the movie, not in the book. He's just a stone cold killer in the book.
Gotcha.
Guy
must have totally been glazed over. I don't remember
it's for the
at
best
all.
Part
yeah
it's, I mean that you were glazed over, like,
yeah.
I totally get it. It's just, it's so, they move so fast, like, it's like, and I think the Drew Barrymore version, which she was the, I mean, is she coming off of,
I think this was their
E.T.?
First movie after E.T. I think,
which makes sense, like, that
yeah.
kid, she was an adorable child, like, that's
right.
That totally tracks that she would be this girl the way they describe her in the book, like,
right,
you know. And I think even that movie is,
like, I've never
seen
it.
I've never seen it either. And
yeah.
It's on Peacock as well. Like, it's also, they, to their credit, that app is terrible. It's an atrocious app, but they sit it right next to the other one.
Right.
So I was like, okay, that's fair.
That makes it easy.
Yeah. Right. Right. But like, that's even half an hour longer. And I feel like even that extra half hour would have helped. Instead of, like, we got to get to the fire.
Yeah.
We got to get to the badness real quick.
Yeah. It goes E.T. and then Firestarter.
Okay.
And then Irreconcilable Differences.
I don't think I've seen that either.
That's the one where she divorces her parents.
Oh. Well, how old is she there?
I mean, it's 84. It's the same year.
Okay. Man, she just, okay. She
yeah.
just seems a lot more mature of a movie compared to Firestarter and E.T.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, There's
you know,
so
she's similar to Stephen King in that this is also the period where she was so coked
that's
up.
That's fair,
true.
That's also
things.
Like, I made what movie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's just, I think what you were saying is that you've got to build this world. You
right.
have to build it. And I'm not entirely sure that you can, like, that Stephen King should be made into movies anymore.
Yeah, he's got, his stories have so many little tangents that I think a filmmaker's like, well, what are we going down this road for? Let's tighten this up.
Right.
And it's like, I remember in 11/22/63, and I stopped watching it, so I don't even know if
that's the James Franco one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I watched, like, the first two, and I was just like, this is dumb. I'm out. But like, you know, it's the thing where he figures he can go back in time
mm-hmm.
And he ends up back in 63, and he's like, I'm going to stop the Kennedy assassination. But he ends up as, like, a high school English teacher in this small town in 63.
Okay.
And he's just like, and there's this whole period where it just becomes this story about he's a teacher in this small town, and he is enjoying it, and he falls in love with this girl, and he's like, I think I'm just going to stay here and do this.
Okay.
You know, like, and...
So not only was he, again, time travel, right?
Right.
So you have completely derailed that woman's life.
Right.
From whatever track she was on.
Yeah.
You have derailed that.
And so he's just like, you know, he's like, oh, I'm going to, you know, and then he's just like, oh, I'm like, and then he finally decides, like, no, I can't do that. I need to, I need to move on. But like, I mean, I feel like it was like 100 pages of him in this town of, and it, but it was interesting.
Yeah.
Like, right. Like it kind of got into the politics of the school and like what was going on and how he knew things, but he kind of had to bite his tongue and,
okay.
And
he's not going for the sports almanac.
No, he's not. He's not doing that. And so it was really interesting, but I think that, yeah, in a movie, you lose almost all that.
Yeah.
Because you just don't have time. You show one scene where, like, he's, like, oh, making Google eyes at the girl, and it's like, oh, it's this great love that I'll never have. Okay, back to the Kennedy stuff.
I see.
You know?
But, I mean, at least with, like, The Outsider, right, where you get, I think it was, like, 6 or 8 episodes, mm-hmm. where they let that breathe. They let that
absolutely.
If you put that into a movie, you're 2 hours in, and it was like, by the way, it's this weird Wendigo thing, and we're done.
Yeah,
get the mystery of like, what the hell's going on.
And I find myself, this is weird to say on a movie podcast, but I find myself wanting to watch movies less and less these days because I feel like they can't tell the stories properly.
You mean like adaptations of stuff?
Anything.
Okay.
Like I feel like it. Like most stories need a little bit more than 2 hours, and I don't want to sit in front of a 4-hour movie.
Right.
But I'll watch 4 episodes of a show. I mean, make that make sense.
That's a good point.
but yeah, like it's like Outsider as a movie would have been awful.
Terrible.
To do that in 2 hours or 2 hours and 20 minutes, they could not tell that story. But as a TV show, it was good.
Masterful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Midnight Mass is kind of the same way.
Okay.
Like, if that's a movie,
right,
you're like, ugh, this is dumb.
Yeah.
But they draw it out, and they let you feel for those characters, and they build on everything.
Yeah.
And then when the thing happens again, you're just like, oh, no.
And I think movies used to be different in so much as that they would tell stories that television couldn't.
Sure.
Right? And because they could cuss, and they could... there could be sex if they needed it. There could be, they just could tell story, and they had more money, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
And because if you go back and watch, like in the 70s, early 80s, TV movies were a big deal, even up through the 90s, right? TV movies were a big deal.
Langoliers.
Yeah.
Right?
But they were never as good as the movies.
No.
You know, you always, if you saw a TV movie, you were like, well, I'll watch it because it's on TV.
It's on
and
Sunday
it's free.
Night.
But I know it's not going to be as good as a feature film.
Right.
Right. And nowadays, I almost feel like it's starting to flip.
You're not wrong.
Or at least you know that there is a chance that this TV show is going to have the production quality of a feature film.
I think the best representation of that is Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what was that, 99?
Yeah.
You're not getting that.
Yeah.
You're not getting Fellowship on TV. There's
no
way.
Right.
And now, what, next year on Amazon, you're going to get Fellowship of the Ring on TV?
Are they telling the same story? Or are they
I thought it was the same story.
I thought they were doing other stories from the Tolkien verse.
But still.
Yeah.
Like, that's still.
But yeah, I think today, the Lord of the Rings trilogy would be on HBO or Netflix, and instead of being, you know, each movie being 4 hours, each book would be 12 episodes.
Yeah.
And they would leave nothing out.
Look at Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Right? Like, until the last couple seasons. But
yeah.
Like, it's you're absolutely right. And I think that's, I do think, like, you know, with The Shining, or with, I guess, Dr. Sleep is a better example of where Mike Flanagan took that book and made that work in, not only do you get the Dr. Sleep stuff, but you also, for the Shining purist, you get that ending that is the Shining ending.
Right.
Right? Like, you don't get the
that,
the
that sequel was masterful, and because the Shining has always been very divisive, because you have people that are like, the movie,
I want
is,
the hedge maze, or I want
the movie is great, and people who are like, the movie screwed up the book.
Right.
And so the way he was able to craft a sequel to both,
yeah,
was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and I've, unfortunately, that's one that I haven't read, so
yeah.
I don't know how
it's
that,
really good.
Yeah, it's on the list.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a lot.
Yeah, right.
And they're long. I mean, some are longer than others. Firestarter's a fairly short one, but
thank God for Audible.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot of those books are, you know, Stand.
Salem's Lot. That one is not a slog, but it's just a lot.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of characters and a lot of development going on, which, again, that one, like, I think that's my favorite. And I don't know if that's going to work.
Yeah.
You know, because there is so much happening in that book. So, yeah. So
he was at the farm.
He's at the farm and they end up taking him and she gets away. And Andy ends up like kind of tricking Rainbird into thinking that Charlie's in one part, but it turns out she's in a completely different part and like is able to get away.
Yeah.
And at this point, she has started to develop not only the fire starter power, but also have like some telekinesis going on.
Right. She's got a little bit from mom, a little bit from dad.
Right.
I just don't think this girl is very good.
She's not.
Like, I hate to just bag on child actors. And I will say, for the most part, child actors are pretty good these days, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if it's her fault or I just don't feel like there's any unique take on this character. It doesn't feel, and even though I didn't see the Drew Barrymore version, it doesn't feel radically different than the clips I've seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, she's not done any favors by the fact that, like, the effects
real bad
are bad, and they don't, and they're not well designed. Like, not only are they not well executed, but, like, it just doesn't look any different than, I mean, even the poster looks the same as the original Firestarter. And I mean, I guess at the end of the day, there's only so much you can do with fire.
I don't know. I think of Smallville. I know it's a weird comparison.
Yeah.
But like for the longest time, whenever Superman would use his heat vision, you would get red lines out of his eyes, right? Where Smallville got rid of the red lines and kind of like gave you the heat wobbles
right.
coming out of his eyes.
Yeah.
Like that was the heat vision. I was like, I've never seen that before. Like,
right.
That's very cool. They kind of do that here. But it also looks like it's the effects from Smallville.
Right.
Like it's like, well, we'll just do that from 1997 or whatever, whenever year that came out. And when she does use fire, it's like, man, that looks like something out of a video game.
It does.
Like, and not a good video game.
Right.
Right. Like it's real bad. So Charlie kind of like sits down in the woods. Awesome place to try to harness your firepower is right. The dry woods.
I know. And I was like, oh, we're gonna get a fire starter montage where she learns how to use her powers, and she does it three times and they're done.
Figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect place for the Prodigy song.
I know.
I'm just saying, if you're gonna do a fire starting montage, you have a song called Fire Starter.
Maybe Twisted Fire Starter.
And I would say, in the hands of a better filmmaker, maybe they'd feel like that's a little too on the nose.
Sure.
But I don't think that's, they probably just didn't have the money.
You don't think that, well, that maybe. I was like, you don't think they could afford Firestarter?
They couldn't afford fire.
That's a good point. There is, there's a whole scene where she's sitting, like looking at it like that she has, sticks that she has arranged into a pyramid, and it is surrounded by dead brush.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to tell you, kid, you missed that thing.
Right.
You're sending that whole forest up in flames. Yes. Like, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. You're destroying the state of California.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Wherever you are.
Yeah.
So she figures out how to use her power.
I feel like it's a pretty safe bet they're in Ontario.
I also think Vancouver. That's a very safe bet. Where can we film this on the cheap? Canada.
Yes.
Okay. So she is getting like messages what she thinks is coming from her dad to come to this place.
Yeah.
Tom did mention that she roasts a cat. Like Stephen King, this
best
is
part of the movie.
I think for me, it's when she gets the guy in the car.
I just don't like cats.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Church makes sense from Pet Sematary. They squish Church. Like, but then they bring him back and you're like, God damn it.
And I'm like, but he is evil.
Yes.
Just proving my point.
Real easy. So she takes this kid's bike that she's like, you give me your lunch. You give me your bike and you go away, I guess. Like, there's nothing to that third kid or whatever.
Right.
So
I just looked it up real quick on Wikipedia. Principal photography began on May 25th, 2021 in Toronto.
There it is. Yeah.
And Hamilton, Ontario.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
When they're in the woods, it looks Canadian woods.
Right.
You know. So she ends up going to the DIS, which is, again, random building that labels itself. but this entire time that, like, now we've got Ray Bird.
He does not host a game.
Also,
game show.
I know that also Ray Bird
does not host the match
Bird.
Game.
Yeah, right. I'll see you in 2 and 2. I guess
that's Chuck Woolery.
Chuck Woolery, who got him. Yeah, he's a creepo. But like he starts to like turn on the people.
Cause yeah,
I whatever. So this is the part that I liked where she starts using the push on this agent. And I do like where she's like, it says agent on your thing. You have a gun. He's like, no, I don't. I'm a technician. She's like, okay. And he goes for it. And he like, she melts his face.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was kind of cool. Yeah. Like, that's the coolest part of the movie for me.
She melts his face like Slayer.
She did.
Yeah.
Just like, bleh, like, you know, it's like dripping off his skeleton. And then she roasts him. I do like where they've got one guy manning of an entire like facility. Who's like, she's in. And everybody's like, what? And then, you know, it's unbelievable that this is part of this movie where it's just like one guy sitting in front of like three banks of screens and they're like, she's here.
Right.
And nobody can figure out how to stop this girl.
The budget on this movie is $12 million. Presumably, Zac Efron got $11 million of it.
I feel like a guy watched ER for a little bit and was like, you know who I like? That Gloria Rubens. She's all right. What's she up to? Just between reruns of that and that 70s show. So like I do kind of want to mention like the other doctors that are in this book that, so Andy stops taking the medicine in the book and starts realizing that like the medicine is what stopped the push from working. So once he stops taking the medicine, he's starting to like push the doctors and try to get himself out. And he's got this whole setup. And it's interesting in the, unfortunately in the book where he like, if you push too hard, you can cause a ricochet, which will cause like other memories to become bad memories. And then those will lead to other bad things. Right. So this, the Pinchot, who's the name on this hospital that we see, and we don't see this doctor ever, like turns out he was a cross dresser in college and stopped doing it. But then because Andy pushed him so hard, like he started doing it again.
Well, that hasn't aged well.
Not at all. Like, can't put that in the movie, which makes sense. Right. But it's like he also sticks his hand into like a garbage disposal. And that's how he dies, is he just won't bring his hand out and he dies from like blood loss.
Right.
And I was like, OK, the cross-dressing thing, can't do that. Like, obviously. But you could do the hand in the garbage disposal.
Right.
You could do, either way. This is the most ridiculous scene in this entire movie. We find Andy, Zac Efron, like harnessed to a chair. And he basically, even in the book, they say, he's like, I won't push her. Like the only, and it comes down to like this last thing where he's like, I have to, like, it's the only way that she's going to unlock this ability. I have to push her to make her burn everything.
Right.
And that's kind of what we get here, where he says Gloria Rubens, who, again, in this movie as a, I don't know who she is, lead bad guy.
Right.
Sure. Why not?
Project manager bad guy.
Yeah. Middle management bad guy. Kind of has like a knife to Zac Efron's throat and says, if you burn me, you burn him. And he's just like, burn it all. And he pushes Andy or pushes Charlie and she unlocks the power and she kills her dad, like sets him on fire. Gloria Rubens gets set on fire, and this is kind of a decent scene. Like it's her just kind of tearing ass through this facility and just burning people and throwing people.
Because you didn't do any of the character development,
doesn't matter.
You don't care, right? Like on a better movie, you'd be like, "Oh yeah, here's what we're here for."
Well,
and it was just kind of like, "This is gonna happen."
In the book, at least, she's like, "I don't want to do this. I don't like this. Please don't make me do this. I don't want to kill anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody." And then when it finally comes down to her dad is dead, she's like, fuck this.
Yeah.
And you're all going to die. Like, that's the way this is going to work. And it does. She feels a little bit older in the book compared to not a teenager, but like maybe like 10 or 11, like somewhere around there, where she could have the idea that the cognizance to be like, I'm going to kill you on purpose. And I know what I'm doing. And I, it's a shame because in the book, it's like she's in this stable and she just like lets loose and is just like smoking like these agents left and right. And like, it doesn't matter who gets in her way. The one description of like bones turning to like black char and like dust. And I was like, that would have been kind of cool to see. But they only had $12 million. So I guess they can't do that. That also makes sense.
They could not afford black dust.
Yes, Korea. I couldn't afford any black dust
too
whatsoever.
Pricey.
Too much. I think of like Halloween where they're like, no, man, go scoop those leaves up. Like, we don't have enough in the budget. So you go, we got to use those later. So she ends up like tearing through this entire facility and she comes face to face with Rainbird and he like is going to offer himself to her and like kill him and she won't do it. And then they leave together.
Yeah. Like he's her dad now.
Yeah. And it's like, he killed your mom and he got your dad caught and he's not a good guy.
Yeah.
What are we doing? We're going to make 60 minutes of suck. Cause this is, I mean, again, it's only half an hour or an hour and a half.
Right.
Like it's such a mess. And I do think maybe some of the short stories, right? Like I have every intention to read The Jaunt. That's the one that is like
that's really
on,
good.
On my list that I want to read really bad. The short stories probably work better as movies. Cause you're getting the, you know, the Stand By Me, I think, is one of the,
it's a novella.
Is it? It's not a short. Okay.
Well, it's a book of four short stories.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
It's from a book called Four Seasons, and that's where you get Stand By Me, called The Body.
Right.
And then you get Shawshank Redemption, which was Rita Hayworth in the Shawshank Redemption.
And, oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you also get Apt Pupil.
Oh, I forgot that's a Stephen King one.
Yeah, and I forget what the fourth one is.
That's a good movie, too.
It is.
Fortunately, it's Bryan Singer.
Yeah, but it is a good movie. Yeah.
Yeah, and like they walk off into the sunset, and it's just, and I don't think, I think at this point, obviously we got It Chapter 1 and Chapter 2. I just don't think you can make a Stephen King movie into a two-hour movie, or a Stephen King book into a two-hour movie anymore. I just don't think.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make it a TV show or, I mean, the short stories seem to work. Those seem to be able to transfer.
It's well. Called Different Seasons, not Four Seasons,
oh,
but there's four. So
Skeleton Key is the one with Skeleton Crew.
I think it's Skeleton Crew.
That
has a bunch of short stories in it.
It's a big old book, but like The Jaunt is the one that's in there that I would like to see kind of.
The other one's called The Breathing Method, which I don't think has been adapted.
Oh, okay. This is real bad. It's real bad.
Yeah, it's not like incompetent.
No.
It's just like so mediocre.
Yeah.
And it could have been fun.
Could have been fun. It could have been a lot of fun. It could have been like a Stephen King superhero story. But yeah, I got about halfway through it and I was like, this is just like that stupid Charlize Theron movie.
Yeah.
Like, and that never, like, and again, like that never got remade.
Yeah.
They went ahead and did, like, we'll do the other one. What's the third one you got? Sharp Objects.
Yeah.
We'll do that one.
I thought they were trying to turn that into an HBO show.
They were. Because Sharp Objects did really well.
Yeah.
Like, that was really well received, obviously. Gone.
I think the problem with Dark Places is the premise is a little stupider.
It is a little stupider.
It was a fun read, but the premise is kind of like, it's,
that's like, it doesn't know who her family is? Is that what
It's like, there's this idea, it hinges on, like, there's this underground world of people who, like, trade serial killer paraphernalia.
They thought she killed somebody,
like her family was killed by a serial,
that's
like,
right,
it was like a mass murder.
Yeah
and they think her mom did it or something. I don't, but and so she
that's
gets
right.
pulled into this world as like a celebrity to these people, and like, and I was like, this feels kind of dumb, but I guess I'll just roll with it. And the story was interesting if you can accept the kind of dumb premise.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I think today, if I was making that, and honestly, today she might be more apt to go this direction as a writer, is instead of building around this weird world that doesn't seem like it would be real, is make it about their true crime podcasters.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
especially in 2022.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, that I believe.
Those numbers are dumb.
Totally. Yeah.
And not about, I'm like, congratulations.
Yeah.
Like, I get, but good Lord.
Right.
I think they should stop trying to make, and if you're going to do it in two parts or give it the time that it deserves.
Yeah.
And they didn't do that with this.
No, they did not.
This is a big old swing and a miss.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So.
I'm really glad I read the book.
Yeah.
Because, oh boy, I'd have been pissed.
Yes. So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Yeah, 57 minutes.
Hey, man.
Yeah. So that's it for this one, Joe. Joe, where can they find you?
You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21. Also, don't forget to check out, if you are on the Patreon, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre episodes should be wrapping up. There will be hopefully an interview with Matt McCarthy from the We Watch Wrestling podcast and currently starring on Spare Me, I think is the name of his show.
Okay.
And also a friend of the show, Brian Spath, and I did a recast of Superman, of who we would like to see maybe the Warner Brothers reboot.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Adcox, set the fires.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.